behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benson.
And I'm Ben Boland.
And we're back with our second part of Bare Metal Cars, and I'm shaking with excitement.
And before we jump in, I just want to say that I have not checked. I may have accidentally misquoted Snoop Dogg, who, as you pointed out when we were off air, is actually Snoop Lion now.
So. Snoop Lion, but you know what? I would say we're good with that. Just leave it as is.
All right.
I'm sure that at some point in his career, Snoop has said, chill. Right?
Yes.
I would think so. I mean, probably daily.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saving me, buddy. With that, let's go ahead and jump back in to Bare Metal Cars. Now we're going to get to why this is a hugely personal deal to you toward the end of this podcast, but right now I want to take a second to plug my favorite brand so far of these different coatings, lubricants that we're talking about.
Sure.
And that is Gibbs brand.
Oh.
I swear they're not paying me, man.
No, they're not.
They just have near universal acclaim.
There's zero sponsorship or anything like that involved. In fact, I've got a printout here of this Gibbs brand stuff, and this is stuff that you will find. A lot of people mention this in these forums. You know, it's kind of like the conversation ender for a lot of people. They're just like, just use Gibbs. You'll use it, never think about it again. And in a way, I mean, you know, you have to reapply and everything. But look up some information on Gibbs brand lubricant, because when I mentioned all these different ways of maintaining a bare metal finish, it's very, very possible to maintain it with a product like Gibbs. Now, Gibbs is a penetrating oil.
Yes. Oh, I've got some background.
Oh, go ahead.
Can I?
Yeah, why not?
I'm going to go for it.
Sure.
Stop me if it's too much.
Sure.
So Gibbs dates back to 1969. Mm-hmm. A fellow named Paul Gibbs, who was a Harley mechanic, Harley Davidson mechanic with a background in chemistry, created this. And according to their website, it was the first true penetrant in U.S. history. And it established the category when he patented the substance. It can penetrate gaps that are as small as 1/1,000,000th of an inch.
Mm-hmm.
That's a micron. The viscosity is lower than the viscosity of water. It's the only, according to their claim, it's the only product on the market that undercoats metal and can be painted over. So you can use it in a lot of applications. You can also apparently take bare metal that's been treated with Gibbs, touch it with a dirty hand, and it won't leave a stain, which is like their mark of authenticity. And they are supplying people worldwide.
Yeah. Now, you're not going to find this stuff on the shelf anywhere.
No, you have to buy it from them.
Yeah. And again, no commercial. I swear to you, it's not a commercial. Look anywhere on our site, you're not going to find anything about Gibbs, but
it does sound kind of like
this stuff. It really works. It really does work. And I've personally used it. I can tell you that right now without giving anything away, but I've personally used it, and I've been kind of messing around with it at home. I've got, you know, 6 cans of this stuff laying around.
Oh,
now.
Yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, I bought them from somewhere out west. You know, I didn't get them shipped to me for free or anything like that. Can I tell you a funny story?
Yeah.
When I was trying to find this stuff is made here in Atlanta.
What?
Yeah, it's created, it's crafted, it's mixed or whatever you do to, you know, this chemical.
The secret brew.
It's bottled here in Atlanta. And, oh, that's one of the problems with this stuff. They had a problem bottling it because it would just weep out of the seals of whatever type of container they put it into. They had to find a new form of packaging in order to contain this stuff for shipping. So I contacted, and this is the old man part of me coming out, Ben.
Yeah.
I didn't want to offer up my credit card information online to anybody.
Okay.
So, and I, so yeah. Funny. My wife laughs at me about this all the time. I wanted to just go to the factory and buy one can of this stuff and try it. At the factory. I wanted to walk into the factory where they make it. Here's my $20 for my one can of Gibbs brand, because it's expensive stuff.
Yeah.
Here's my $20. Can I have one can? I'd just like to try it out before I really make a commitment to this stuff, right? So I contact them.
Yeah.
They give me a phone number. They're kind of like, you know, scurrying around trying to figure out what to do because they don't have a retail
shop. Who is this guy calling me?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I get this phone number from them. They say, here's a distributor. His name is Paul Gibbs. And I said, wait, Paul Gibbs, the guy that created you know, Gibbs brand? And they said, yeah, just call him. He lives in Florida. He'll be able to give you the, you know, at least he'll be able to make it for like a local pickup or something. So I held onto the number for a while.
Whoa.
And I called him.
Yeah.
And I'll be candid here. He's kind of a cranky old guy. Yeah, because, you know, this is 40 years ago when he created this stuff, more than 50 years ago.
He's certainly retired.
He's way retired. He's kind of a cranky old guy, and he was upset with me calling his cell phone. They gave me his cell phone number.
Whoa.
His personal cell phone number. So I can understand why, you know, because I'm just...
He's just some jabroni.
I'm just some guy calling him, asking for the product. And the guy started saying stuff like, who gave you my number? Was it a girl? Was it a girl that gave you my number? And I said, no, I didn't want to say. I was like, no.
You want to get him in
trouble. I don't really remember. I'll just call back later. I'll find some other way. You know, and I was just really trying to bow out of the conversation.
Oh, that's a Larry David moment.
After he realized that I wasn't, you know, crank calling him or something, he did talk with me for about 5 minutes about the stuff. So he wasn't all that bad, but he came off as kind of abrupt at first.
Well,
I'll tell you
yeah,
that.
But look at it from his side. Of the conversation.
True. And I mean, look into the list of what Gibbs brand will do. And I had a lot of questions about it, obviously.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask him, but I really couldn't. So I ended up finding out the stuff, you know, just kind of, you know, hit and miss searching everywhere, you know, finding out. But to me, the big benefit of Gibbs was that you could eventually paint over it. Now, if you use something like WD-40 or use a turtle wax or whatever, you know, you put that on top of the bare metal finish. If you ever plan to sell the car, you've got to kind of be upfront with somebody. Well, you do have to be upfront with them and say, now look, I've oiled the entire body of the car.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do something to remove that. It's going to either be a chemical strip process. It's going to be, you know, it's more than just washing it at the car wash.
Right.
Because oil doesn't come off all that easily, especially penetrating oil.
Yeah.
The one benefit that Gibbs had for me is that if you ever plan on selling the vehicle, the future owner could paint it, you know, the original color if they chose to. Or they could leave it in bare metal as they wanted to. So, you know, something like that would be, I don't know, I think a positive selling point. It's kind of the responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to clear coat it because I'd heard so much, you know, about that. So I think I may be giving stuff away here. All right, Ben, so we have to take a little detour here for just a moment, and I want to talk about one of our sponsors that you and I have been frequenting their site recently, right?
Oh, that's true. Are you talking about who I think you're talking about?
I think I am. I'm talking about Jack Threads.
Oh, yep, that's the one.
And the cool thing about this is that it's become like this shopping destination for guys that has an amazing array of shirts and pants and mm-hmm. shoes and hats and accessories and all kinds of gadgets and just cool stuff.
Cool stuff
focused on guys and what guys like.
And this is not a bunch of knockoff brands either. Mm-hmm. These are name brands like Penguin, Busted Tees.
Mm-hmm. Supra, mm-hmm. Nixon, yep. Ben Sherman, all those. And honestly, another really interesting thing about this is that it's a deep, deep discount site. Some of these brands are up to 80% off.
That's 80%.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah,
again.
So
it's a good move.
Yeah, it's really, really the right price for some, you know, guys like you and I who like mm-hmm. to dress well, but maybe don't have the budget of somebody, you know, that can afford to go to retail locations and pay full price, right?
Right. And, or maybe would simply rather not.
Yeah, that's it. I guess we would rather not. Maybe that's a better way to say it. I mean, why be a sucker?
Yes, why be a sucker? And there's one catch here, Scott, and that is that jackthreads.com is kind of exclusive.
Mm-hmm. It's like a club.
It's like a club. There's a waiting list the same way that there's a long line outside of a nightclub mm-hmm. on a Saturday night. However,
yep,
we have good news, and that is that if you are a listener of Car Stuff, you can go to jackthreads.com/CarStuff and skip the waiting list entirely. Instant mm-hmm. access.
Yep. So you've got complete access to all the brands we mentioned. There's literally hundreds of brands. I mean, mm-hmm. I can just kind of poke around there and find out, you know, like, all the different types of shoes and shirts and pants and hats and whatever, gadgets. I love the gadgets part. That's my favorite.
That's your main bag.
It seems like you could kind of spend a lot of time just looking around on there until you finally decide on something, but there's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. So check it out. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. And, Scott, I'd also love to get back to bare metal cars.
Mm-hmm.
James Hetfield, I don't know where you are into music.
Sure,
these days.
I know who that is.
Okay, co-founder of Metallica. He has a 36 bare metal Ford.
Very
you saw
cool.
some pictures of this,
yeah,
right?
Very cool.
And the first build was done in 6 weeks. It got finished as a rat rod, but then they built it. They rebuilt, had a additional build to make it a lot classier.
Mm-hmm. Sure, to show off some of that custom, you know, the custom steel work, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. The interior is all oxblood, leather upholstery, gloss black paint. This was made by a group called Blue Collar Customs in Sacramento, California. They started with Heights Mustang II style front end, and they modified it. Now, one thing we should say, although a lot of these bare metal cars may look like absolute classics, they are typically modified. This mm-hmm. is, and I think we already really implied that because yeah. we talked about the craftsmanship that goes into
sure,
the work.
A lot of custom cars are left bare metal because they want to, again, they want to show off their metalworking skills.
Yeah. And
what a cool combination, by the way, because when you look at the sheen on a bare metal car, you know, it's either got a brushed look.
Yeah.
It can be just kind of like a satiny kind of look almost.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like there could be even a finish that looks like, you know, the DeLorean finish where it's like a really deep brushed look.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of different sheen. I guess you could have like a ground finish. You could have a pattern ground into it. Like if you used an angle grinder to create the bare metal finish, it's going to leave a pattern.
Yes.
In the metal. And some people emphasize that by, you know, just making it even stronger. I mean, they make a pattern in it that's intentional. I've seen a Cadillac, a late 60s Cadillac that was done in bare metal. You know, of course, it's an enormous car, huge body, but it's all bare metal. And they left it with these like machining marks almost. Like if they used an angle grinder with an abrasive on it. And it leaves a really interesting texture. It's not for everybody. I mean, because it, you know, has a, like a dark line, light line, dark line when you see it
yeah.
in sunshine. But then again, I don't know, kind of to each his own, I suppose, on this. And then, you know, mm-hmm. what you do with it after that, you know, like you mentioned that James Hetfield's car, mm-hmm. it's got a black interior. So, you know, he's painted with gloss black interior, the dash and everything else in there.
Yep.
The red leather seats and then this this satin-looking metallic finish.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's it's a mean machine. I think if you have time to check that out online, you might enjoy it, especially if you are a fan of Metallica, then you will probably look at it and say, you know, it makes sense that you would drive that.
Mm-hmm.
I have decided to be happy for the guy rather than to envy his car, but it is a beautiful ride.
That's a good way to be.
And speaking of beautiful rides, Scott, this is all I've got for bare metal cars.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I've got so many notes that I just kind of glossed over here.
Uh-huh.
More specifics about the stuff, but I think, again, I said this earlier, I think I just wanted our listeners to know that there are bare metal cars out there.
Mm-hmm.
And not the stainless steel cars that we talked about, but these bare metal cars that people are meticulously maintaining because they do take a lot of maintenance.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much as you think if you use that Gibbs product. I mean, it's like, again, I know it sounds like a commercial. I apologize.
I can't believe you prank called the inventor.
Yeah, no, I didn't prank.
You accidentally pranked.
I guess I still could, but I'm not going to. But, and great product, by the way. Seriously, I can't say enough good things about it, really.
Sure.
But you know, if you use something like that now, well, I can tell you in just a minute.
Yes. And so here we go. Maestro, Noel, could we have a drum roll, please?
All right. So here's the big news, and I don't know if it's big news anymore because I've kind of let it leak out slowly throughout the show, but my project car is going to be a bare metal car. And it's going to stay that way as long as I own it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to stay that way.
It's going to stay that way. I'm not going to paint it. Now, the original paint was a, you'll laugh when you hear the name. It was originally Daffodil Yellow.
Yeah.
But that's not as bad as it sounds. It's not like that bright yellow taxi cab yellow. It's almost a white. It's a very classic Chrysler color.
It's a muted yellow.
Yeah, it's a 1967 Chrysler Newport,
mm-hmm.
and the yellow is very, very muted. It's almost white, as a
yeah.
matter of fact. And I'm taking all of that off. I'm not done yet, because it's a slow process, I'll tell you that.
Well, also, it's for people who aren't familiar with this vehicle, it's a very long car. Almost, it's a lot of paint to take.
It's almost 19 feet. and here, this will give you a little more appreciation for how I've been doing this. It's chemical stripping that I'm using.
Okay.
And so what you do is you apply the stripper with a, you know, 2-inch paintbrush, and you wait about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. The paint bubbles up, and you scrape it away with a razor blade. And then you've got to go through the, after you do that in a small little area, then you have to clean that up, mm-hmm. and you apply more stripper, and you try to go for what you can of the original primer, which appears, I don't know how that is put on, but that stuff is the worst to get off.
Is that the bear?
It
of
is.
The process?
That's the hardest part is the primer below the paint. There's a brown primer below the yellow paint. And that's what, you know, is next in line before the bare metal.
Yeah.
And then after you get as much as you can of that primer off, then I have to go over it with a Scotch-Brite pad. This sounds awful, I know, but this is what you do with these bare metal cars. You go with a Scotch-Brite pad, like a green one, mm-hmm. very, very abrasive, and you dip that in the stripper, and then you rub that, you know, back and forth or whatever pattern you want to have on the metal. You know,
like the brush.
Yeah, exactly. Because mine's got mostly a brushed look, I guess. And I'm trying to keep it all going the same direction, like from the front of the car to the back of the car. So
okay.
It's not up and down. It's front to back.
You've done a lot of work.
I'm also kind of experimenting with Scotch-Brite pad and lacquer thinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the chemicals sound horrible, you know, that you're using. And they really are. They're bad for you. So you use a mask and, you know, eye protection and all that.
Right. Wear a respirator.
Exactly. And that chemical stripper, I mean, again, you know, you're working with a razor blade and a 2-inch paintbrush on a 19-foot car. I can tell you how slow this process is, right?
Yeah.
Very, very slow. So that stripper, when you're painting it on the surface, you know the instant some of that stuff touches your skin. That's really strong stuff. I mean, it feels like a bee sting if you get a drop of it on you anywhere.
And wow.
It eats through my gloves. In fact, I come in often on Mondays with my fingertips. They feel like sandpaper because it's eaten through the gloves. And, you know, of course, you don't realize until it's all the way through. You change your gloves, but, it, you know, the damage is done. And then it eats through the next pair of gloves. And it'll do that within minutes.
Wow.
And these are decent gloves, too. You know, they're not anything terribly cheap.
This is like a labor of love, man.
It takes a long, long time. And, of course, you know, you've got to remove all the chrome trim, which is all off of the car now.
Yeah, I see that.
The hardest part that I'm having to deal with right now is the cowl right in front of the windshield and mm-hmm. right behind the rear windshield, or the rear glass.
Yeah.
All the detail work on the fins on that. And, of course, you know, like the gaps, I guess, you know, like the door gaps.
Sure.
I don't really still even know how I'm going to get the paint off of, like, the hinge areas. I don't even know. I'm not convinced I'm going to. Just areas where you can see from outside the car with the doors closed.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult. But, I mean, taking all the emblems off, I've got all the chrome laid off to the side and that has to be polished and put back on later. But
You did a great job on the hood here.
Well, thank you.
Just to describe this for everybody, almost the entire car is bare metal now, except for the back left panel, mm-hmm. which, granted, is a very long back left
you
panel.
Know, you can't tell in that photo, but that's about 8 feet or so, maybe from the door to the very back end of the car. It's a long, long panel. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a bear.
Yeah, for sure.
Very
but
difficult.
But you already got so much of it. This explains so much because you very much wanted to do the bare metal car podcast.
Yeah.
We knew we had too much for it to go with the stainless steel cars.
Yeah.
But now I figure out, like, I feel like that guy at the end of Usual Suspects who figured out who Kaiser Sose is.
Oh, gotcha. And you know what?
Yeah.
Coming clean, I guess. Of course, we've mentioned this, but I've been using Gibbs throughout.
Yeah.
So, you know, once I ordered this stuff and I was hesitant to put it on, but it really works. Like, when I work a little area,
uh-huh.
I coat it with Gibbs and then I just kind of have been observing what's happening with it. I've put it on really thick. Mm-hmm. Not like, you know, if I was to actually be taking it out on the road, I would wipe off that top layer. I'm putting it on extremely thick so that it's covered and coated and protected while it's just sitting there.
So it's not getting an opportunity to rust.
Exactly. And this is so crazy. You use things like paper towel. You just put it on with a paper towel. And I leave I've got a microfiber cloth that's soaked in the stuff. I use that to wipe a new area down. It's so counterintuitive, some of the products and the ways that you treat bare metal versus you treat paint. I mean,
yeah.
You'd never touch paint with a paper towel or a Scotch-Brite pad or anything like that,
right.
Or a lacquer thinner. My gosh, you'd want to stay as far away from that as possible. But, you know, in this case, you want to apply that. I'm going through it by the gallon. and literally by the gallon. I mean, it's really time consuming. It's very rewarding. And I'm learning an awful lot doing it. It's, I don't even know when I'll be done with this. I mean, the chrome alone to put everything back together is going to be very difficult because at this point it's been a long time since some of that stuff has come apart.
Yeah.
And, I wasn't careful enough about taking photographs.
You'll be able to do it. What we should do is build a big photo gallery when you have the bare metal together with the chrome on.
Sure.
And just remember to take some more pictures because these are awesome.
Oh, I've been doing that along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I see them. And, for our listeners, sorry we haven't sent more pictures out, but we've got some on the way, I think.
Yeah, and honestly, seriously, I've been using that Gibbs product. It's working well. I know I've said it many, many times. I can't imagine putting WD-40 on the car and then trying to sell it to somebody and saying, "No, by the way, I don't think you're ever going to be able to paint this car."
Well, that's because you're kind of an ethical dude.
And one thing I need to say is that all these bare metal cars, if you get close enough, you're going to see little spots and flaws in them.
Yeah.
That may even have come from the original, from the factory, from the dyes that created the car.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's got a ton of little black spots on it and just areas that I took the vinyl top off of the thing.
I saw that, and
it had a black vinyl top, and there was a little bit of damage below it, but nothing too bad. I mean, it looks kind of cool when it's it's all oiled up, and it turned the rust areas black.
Mm-hmm.
This material did. Supposedly, it's reversing it. I don't know how that's happening, but it's not going any farther. I'll tell you that. So
awesome.
I've stopped any kind of wear and tear on the body surface just by using the product, and I think it's been helpful. To get that top off of there. So in a way, I'm kind of preserving the car.
You know what? That's a good note for us to end on here. Everybody, thanks so much for listening to our episode on bare metal cars. We're going to check back in with you, Scott, when we've got some more photos of this. I'm excited because what you've done here right now is impressive, especially considering that it's a 2-inch paint brush and that car's so long.
I spend a lot of time just staring at it. I really do. It's kind of becoming, I don't know, it's mean looking, but it's also kind of pretty,
It's a cool thing.
It's neat to look at.
Yeah, for sure. And we're going to give you guys a chance to look at it in the near future. In the meantime, please write to us with any ideas for upcoming episodes, any anecdotes about bare metal cars, and whether or not you think a bare metal car is a swell idea.
Have you ever seen one? Because they're relatively rare. So search the car shows that you're at, look in the far corners, and see if you can find somebody that's doing this. Because it's an ask them about it and how they maintain it, because everybody's going to have their own story.
And we have personal stake in the game, too.
That's right.
So you can contact us on Facebook, you can drop us a line on Twitter, and you can send us an email directly. We are
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.